Okay, this evening's reading is from the book of the prophet Haggai. We're going to reread verses 3 to 8 before we read verses 12 to 15. So it's Haggai chapter 1, 3 to 8, and then 12 to 15. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but they are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of King Darius.
Now, please keep open Haggai, particularly verses 12 to 15 we're going to be looking at this evening. And I'm going to pray for us now before we do. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we've just had your living, active, powerful word read to us this evening. We pray that as we think about it, we would hear what you have to say to us. And as we listen and hear, we would obey you and trust you more too. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had a choice whether to obey someone or not? I'm sure we all have. Whether it's obeying our parents as a child when they tell us to be back home in time for tea, or obeying our teacher at school when they say the coursework simply must be in tomorrow without fail, or whether it's obeying our boss at work when they're totally unreasonable and wrong, or even obeying the law fully when we're filling in our tax returns or whatever it may be. Some of us are natural rebels. We hate being told what to do. And other people like having clear instruction to follow. A few months ago, they were discussing whether speed limits on motorways should be increased to 80. And I'm listening to the phone in on 5 Live, I think, as I was driving my car. And people were making all kinds of arguments. But the basic thing I was saying is nobody obeys the speed limits anyway. So what difference does it make? Well, tonight we're thinking not about obeying the law, although it is actually part of what we're thinking. It is involved, it's part of it, but we're thinking rather the bigger question of obeying God. I wonder when you find it hardest to obey God, when his commands seem unreasonable, when it comes at a cost, or when you think you know best. Maybe we have good intentions to follow God, but the temptation to go our own way is just too strong, too appealing. And as we look again at Haggai chapter 1, we're going to sort of think about it under two headings: true obedience and true confidence. So firstly, true obedience. Let's remind ourselves of what Israel, that's the name of God's chosen people in the Old Testament. Let's remind ourselves what they were commanded to do by God. So just look down with me again. We had this last week, but just look with me, verse 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honoured, says the Lord. They're to stop putting themselves first and start getting on with God's priority of restoring the temple. The temple, remember, represented God's presence with people on earth. That's why they'd been allowed to return from Babylon, now part of the Persian Empire, to rebuild the temple. But they'd previously been more concerned with their own houses than with God's house. They were living, it said, in fine panelled houses. Their priorities were all wrong. And here, for once, Israel models true obedience. Look at how they respond, verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. This time, not only do the governing ruler, Shealtiel, and the spiritual leader, Joshua, get mentioned, but also the whole remnant of people are mentioned too. That's all of Israel who survived God's judgment and the battering they took from the Babylonians. A few people had been left behind, mainly the weak and the poor. And now, around 70 years later, under Persian rule, some more people had been allowed to return back to Israel. It sounds as if both the leaders and the people are agreed this time. They're united together in obeying God's voice. And there's an important application for us here too, as we're looking at what the passage is saying. Because whose voice have they obeyed? Haggai's prophecy or God's voice? Well, the text makes clear that these are one and the same. The people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. They obey God as they obey his messenger. Haggai had been commissioned by God to be God's mouthpiece to Israel. The writers of the Old Testament, Moses, David, the prophets, had authority from God to speak his words. And the writers of the New Testament have this same authority. The apostles who were around at the time of Jesus and those who recorded their words. That's why Christians can say that all scripture is God breathed. The Bible itself uses this phrase. The Bible is breathed out by God. It's his voice, it's his words to us through his human servants, through people like Haggai. So the application to us is, if we want to be Christians who listen to and obey the voice of God himself, then we must be Christians who love and read and study and think about and remember the Bible. And most of all, we must be people who obey the Bible. We cannot claim to obey God's voice if we're not obeying his commands to us in the Bible. They're one and the same. Sometimes people say things like, God told me to do this, or I'm waiting to hear about what God says about this or that. There's one way we can be absolutely sure God will speak to us, and that's through the Bible. I'm not saying that God cannot or will not speak to us through other means. He certainly can. I'm sure he does sometimes. But the Bible is the only place God promises to speak to us every time. So let's Let's get back to what's going on. See how they obey. Look on towards the end of verse 14. They came and began work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. They all hear the message of Haggai the prophet. They accept it as it is, as God's voice to them. And they put it into practice and start work on this huge building project. True obedience. True obedience comes from a true fear of God. Just look down then with me, the last sentence of verse 12. You see it there. The people feared the Lord. The reason God's word is obeyed is because they realise that God is a God to be feared. This doesn't mean we should be terrified of God as we might be of someone who sort of flips with sudden outbursts of rage. God is measured and consistent. But it does mean that God is to be treated with reverence and awe, respect, submission. God is more holy and more perfect and more powerful than we could possibly imagine. And he's to be feared. We're to acknowledge how much higher and wiser and stronger than us God is. And we're to totally respect him and to fear him. That's the word the Bible uses. On my day off last week, I was in town having a little walk about, and I popped into Poundland and I was having a look at the books. And sometimes you can get autobiographies for sort of £20-25 for a pound, surprisingly, in Poundland. And I bought the one of Chris Evans that I've been reading. Chris Evans, you might know, was the Radio 1 DJ quite a long time ago in the 90s, and he's a TV presenter and things. And I just think he puts it really well when he's talking about his dad. Let me just read a little bit. He says this. Dad never once hit me. He didn't have to. I was scared enough of him, as it was. Not all the time, just when he wanted me to be. Isn't that what good parenting is all about? Scaring your kids half to death at precisely the right point for precisely the right amount of time. It definitely worked in our house. And he goes on to say that his dad was very loving, was very kind person. But it's the same sort of idea, isn't it? Having that, being someone who he wouldn't mess with because he respected, essentially. And I think that's the sort of idea here of the right, healthy fear we should have of God. And this is the basis of the obedience that we're called to, that we see here in Haggai. And so we must ask ourselves, are we people who are prepared to obey God and follow what he says? Even the things he says that are difficult. Or do we resist? Maybe you're like me find yourself being stubborn. Sometimes we take offence when people rebuke us. But God's word is to rebuke, correct and encourage us. We may have to alter our minds or our actions as we learn from God's word. In fact, I think it's a useful thing every time we read something in the Bible to ask ourselves, how does this change the way I think, or how does it change the way I act? Will we obey when it's difficult, when we don't feel like it, when it means standing out against the crowd? This is what's involved in being a 24/7 Christian, putting God's word into practice. God is not a comfortable sort of teddy bear God we can just sort of get out for when we want a cuddle. He's powerful. He's awesome. So often we Christians lose sight of this. We become over familiar with God. We take him or leave him when it's convenient for us. We think we can call the shots. We don't have the awe or the fear of God that we should. So let's resolve to be people who obey God's voice fully, and who have a correct view of his holiness, his power, the awesomeness of God. True obedience. Secondly, then, true confidence. Obedience is called for by God, but we discover when we step out in faith and trust God that he's a God we can be wonderfully confident in. God is more kind and compassionate and gracious than we can ever imagine. Look down, please, at verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. There's another message Israel needs to hear. Four words from God they need to understand. I am with you. What powerful words. The God who made the universe, who set every star in place, who can number the grains of sand on the earth. This vast creator God is with us. He's the promise that he's with the people, Israel, and he's with us today. Just the other day I saw a young girl in a place that was a new place with her family. She had to go into a room with lots of people and was nervous. Come with me, Daddy, she said. Come with me. That's not an unusual or surprising story, is it? Because when we're daunted by the task, we like to know that we're not alone. And God reassures his people as they step out in faith that he's with them. Our daddy, our Father God, is with us wherever we go. This should give us confidence as we look to follow him. And we must depend on God 100% because he's faithful. He will not let us down. He equips us by giving us all we need. In fact, even our faith in him lies not in our effort or in our wise decision to follow him. God must take credit even for our faith. Because without him, we naturally make ungodly decisions. We make mistakes. We get things wrong. Our hearts are naturally turned away from God. We are contaminated by sin. And yet, let's see what God does. Verse 14, the Lord stirred up the spirits of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of people. Our confidence in their response to God is this: God was behind it. He had stirred up their spirits to obey him. God had moved their hearts to do what is right. And this is true of us if we're Christians. We're people whose eyes have been opened by God. God has revealed his truth to us as he works in us through his Holy Spirit. We have every reason then to be confident in God. He saved us. Done it all through the complete work of Jesus on the cross. And he's sovereign. That means he's in control of everything, even how we respond to him. That is how big God is. This is why we can have confidence in him. God will equip us and use us to serve and follow him. He'll guide us through life, get us to heaven. He'll turn us from cowards to people who live effectively for him. And nothing can stop God. Back to my book, Chris Evans. Reading it, you see that confidence is not something he is lacking in. When he got his contract to work for Radio 1, he asked his advisor how much he should ask, how much it was worth, and then he doubled it and asked for twice that amount of money. And he sort of said, well, if they want me, they will stump up the cash. And later it says about how he sort of demanded to have Fridays off work, as you do. And he was told no, and then how he resigned on air, how he quit live on air. He handed in his resignation, and he's full, outwardly at least, not sure inwardly, outwardly at least, of this sort of self-confidence, maybe you'd call it arrogance. But the confidence we're talking about here is so different from that, isn't it? Because it's not confidence in ourselves or in who we are or how good we are at our job or how much money we earn. It's confidence in God and in what God's done for us through Jesus. So let's finish by briefly considering our priorities today. And can you just flick on, please, to Matthew 28? It's page 705 in the Church Bible, 705. So page 705, Matthew 28. Let me just read verse 19 and 20, right at the end there. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So see what Jesus is saying here? Go and make committed followers of Jesus. That is what every committed follower of Jesus is commanded to do. Teach others how to be obedient disciples. This is our task, our mission, bringing the good news of Jesus to others, to all people, all nations of the world, showing people what it looks like to obey him. This is our task. And we're not temple builders in the sense of literally putting bricks together. That's not necessary anymore. We're church builders as we look to build up followers of Jesus. And as we look to reach the lost with the gospel. This is to be our priority. This is our priority if we are to obey Jesus. To be concerned with people, with encouraging other Christians and reaching others with the good news of Jesus. And did you spot how similar this commission of Jesus is to what we've been looking at in Haggai? Because there's the same promise there right at the end. We can have the same confidence today. So look right at the end there. Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God is with us as we follow him today. What an encouragement. Jesus promises to be with us through his Holy Spirit and to empower us to be his witnesses. So let's pray that we will obey God fully. Obeying his voice in the Bible. This will look different to each of us. How is God calling you to obey? And let's rejoice that God is with us always. Remember his character. Remember his faithfulness. God is worth following fully. And he promises to be with us every step of the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you give us all we need day by day to get on with following you. Help us to follow you wholeheartedly, to be obedient, and to know the joy of having your priority as our priority. Looking to encourage and looking to see your church, your people built up. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.